If you have ever gotten 7 minutes into a podcast recording and realized you never hit record, go ahead and click subscribe. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm your host. My friends call me Rasta Jeff. This, of course, is episode 789 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. Yes, I know I said 789 on the last episode. I do apologize. I'm not the best at counting, but I am pretty good at growing. In this episode, we are going to give away a free pack of seeds. That's right, I've teamed up with my friends at seedsherenow.com to give you a free pack of Eyrie genetic seeds. Stay tuned, we'll talk more about that later in this episode. I do have a lot of fun stuff to ramble about here at the start of the show. I want to start off by giving a couple of shout-outs. I want to give a big shout-out to a comedian by the name of Joe List. That's right, I got to see Joe List live at Comedy Works. Joe List kind of downplays his comedy. He doesn't talk about how many tickets he sells, about how many people show up to his show. He's kind of self-deprecating. And then when you show up to the comedy show, you realize he's doing much better than he leads on. Big shout out, big thank you to Joe List for a great comedy show. Also, a big shout out to Comedy Works for hosting a great show. And of course, a big shout out to Zara for being a perfect comedy show date. All right, let's move forward. The next thing to talk about is Orangegasm seeds will be back in stock on Eyrie Direct very soon. That's right, the seeds have been harvested. They are in a little container. All they need to do is be counted and packaged into individual packages, and then I can put them on the website and get them to you. I will do that very soon. I don't have an exact time or date planned or in mind for when I'm going to do that. Life is very busy. I've got a lot of things going on. I want to get them out as soon as possible. The easiest way for you to stay in touch and stay updated on how to get that drop as soon as it happens is the first people that will get the update is the Patreon members. The people that participate on Patreon at the $7 and 10 cent above level will get the first notification. Shortly after that, the people that subscribe to the $4 and 20 cent subscription on Patreon, they will get a notification. Once I feel like enough people from Patreon have gotten their seeds, then I will send out a newsletter. To sign up for that newsletter, go to my website, iregenetics.com. Scroll down to the bottom. There'll be a spot to type in your email address. You will get a notification that says you have successfully subscribed to that email newsletter. Then when I do the drop for the Orangegasm, you will get an email with a link directly to Eyrie Direct so you can grab those seeds. Then I will also make an update and post a link to the Discord server. I will go to Discord, somewhere in the Eyrie Army Discord. I will make sure everybody sees it. It will say, hey, there are Orangegasm seeds here. Click this link. So it will go in the order of Patreon. It will be the Patreon 710 members, then the Patreon 420 members, then the newsletter, then shortly after that, it will be the Discord server. So make sure you're either on Patreon, the newsletter, or Discord. The newsletter and Discord are absolutely free to join, so please do jump on that. But of course, Patreon will get first dibs at the new drop of the Orangegasm seeds. All right, where do we go from there? Oh, it says here to remind you that every order does come with freebies, and some of those freebies will be testers. If you do get testers, I do highly invite you to join the Discord server. On the Discord server, there is a tab that says Eyrie Genetics Testers. If you click on that, you can see the progress of all the tester seeds that I've sent out from the people that have decided to join and participate in the Discord tester tab. If you want to post one or two pictures there, that is great. If you want to post a weekly update there, that is awesome. If you want to post full written out grow reports there, that is just as great. I want as much details and information as you want to share. If you're one of those people that wants to type out a whole bunch of shit, I'm really interested in reading all of it. Post all your details, your info, type about your gear, your equipment, your humidity, your temperature, what you're feeding, and then post photos or just post a picture and say what strain it is. The most important part, if you are going to post in the tester tab, is please do include what strain you are testing. I try to include a name or at least a cross on the package to identify it so you can clearly talk about what it is. Please do include that so we know what you're talking about on the tester tab. But when you do order from Eyrie Direct, everything will come with some free seeds. Some of those may be tester seeds. It will be clearly marked on there if they are tester seeds. You'll get a little, it'll say testers. You'll get a little card with a link to the Discord. There's a QR code. You can scan that. That should take you right to the Discord. You can join, hang out, then talk about all the testing on there. I think that's all the rambling I want to do here at the start of the show. I do have a couple of great emails. Let's jump right into those. The first one says, yo, Rasta Jeff. I would like to start by thanking you. That's a good way to start a message. You're welcome, bro. It goes on to say, I purchased the bundle off of iRedirect as a Christmas gift to myself, and man, did you deliver. Yes, occasionally I will post random bundles to iRedirect. And I put a bundle pack, and I tell you how many seeds comes in that pack, and I put a very greatly discounted price on that bundle. And then people buy that bundle and they don't know what they're going to get. It's like a prize bag. It's like a grab bag. There's just a bunch of random seeds in there. I make sure to load it up and make it well worth the price that you paid, but you have no idea what's coming. It could be new stuff. It could be old stuff. It could be regs. It could be fems. It could be unreleased shit. It could be overstock shit. Either way, I make sure that you're going to be happy with what you get. If it's older stuff, there's so much of it. If it's new stuff, you're going to be blown away by the cool shit you've never seen. I also sneak in some testers and freebies and all of those. But yes, occasionally I do throw out those bundles. And since you've got faith in me and trust me just to load it up for you, that's why I really hook you up with those. Anyway, I should keep moving. It says the new packaging is awesome. And in a weird way, it seemed like you knew what I want or what I don't have or what I wanted to buy. And you threw that in there. So thanks again. There's a lot of cool compliments in there. The new packaging, thank you. If you guys have not seen the new packaging from iRegenetics, hit iRedirect, grab some seeds. There's a good chance that the John Lemons will come in the new packaging. The Big Mountain Fudge Cake will definitely be in the new packaging. And then some of the FEMs have their own custom package designs on there. So grab some seeds. It goes on anyway. It says, on to my grow question. That is the point of this, right? Do you have any tips on keeping a grow room warmer in the winter? That's a really good question. I'm sure if you've been following along, you know that when I switched from LED lighting, I went from HPS to LED lighting and kind of ruined a whole entire crop. I stupidly, it was my decision, my move. I did that in the middle of the winter. It was negative 17 degrees outside, and I decided to take down the HPS lights and hang up LEDs. And guess what? That room got super fucking cold because I was relying on those HPS lights to keep that room warm, and it did not work with the LEDs. The LEDs put off basically no heat compared to what the HPS lights were doing. So I have struggled with this before. I do need to keep that grow room, that grow space warm. My solution, and you said you can't do that or don't want to do that, but my solution was to hang more lights. I just put the HPS light back up so the LEDs are where they should be in their area. And then I just put HPS up over on the side, and that's what's heating up the room now. It's basically working as extra light and as a heater. All right, it does go on. It says, my wife and I recently purchased a new home. Congratulations, brother. That is a big thing, especially at this time. It goes on. It says, and in this home, my new grow will be in the basement. That's perfect. We all started in the basement, bro. That's where most of us start. It says, she is always hot and I am always cold, so we compromise and just keep the house cold. That makes sense. It was 58 degrees in there yesterday morning. That is kind of cold for a grow space. It says, the room isn't huge. It's about 110 square feet, so that's about like a 10 by 11 room. I also do not own HPS or ceramic metal halide fixtures anymore. I'm hesitant to use a standard hot coil space heater due to fire risks. I have some ideas, but this is another one of those what would Rasta Jeff do situations from our friend, and they call themselves FA Plant Count. I like that, F that plant count, although I do strictly follow the plant count here in Colorado because of all of the rules. But I know what you mean, FA Plant Count. So that is a great question. How do we keep a basement grow space warm in the winter? I did write down a few ideas. Of course, my first option would be just to get a safe heater. I know you don't want one of those dangerous space heaters, but you can get a quality heater now. It's 2023. It's not the 80s. It's not the 70s anymore, where those heaters were super dangerous. There are quality heaters available. You can buy an industrial heater or a residential heater. You can set it on the floor in a safe spot, or you can put it up on the ceiling in a safe spot. You can mount it. Make sure you follow all of the manufacturer's recommended rules and safety precautions. I got to say that to keep myself out of trouble. And everything you do is your responsibility and your fault. Also, I should say that that's for legal purposes here. But I would recommend just a normal small heater. It's a 110 square feet room. A very small heater should be able to warm that space. You can run that heater when the lights are on. You can run that heater when the lights are off. That is one option. I would get a heater and something called a cap switch. Let's talk about what a cap switch is. Many people aren't familiar with these types of devices. They're great, great devices. They make them for all kinds of different things. You can operate a whole grow room. You could automate an entire room with just a few cap switches if you really think about what you're doing. So a cap switch, the switch plugs into the wall where the plug-in goes. So the first step is to get the cap switch, plug it into the wall. It's got a thermostat on it. So you turn it to the range that you want. I think it'll be within 3 to 5 degrees. So you're going to get like 70 to 75. Turn it there, 70 to 75 degrees, maybe a little hotter, 72 to 77, maybe a little hotter. Depends on what you want to do. But turn it to where you want it. Set it on the range at which you want it. Then you plug the heater into that cap switch. Then you turn the heater knob to where it's on at medium or high, however much intensity you want that heater to bang out. Maybe if you put it on medium, it won't be banging high intensity all the time. It may last longer, less risk of problem, less risk of fire. So you turn the heater on medium. It's got one of those manual, those switches that you have to turn. Don't get a digital heater because that will not work with your cap switch. You got to get the analog kind with the knobs that you can turn. So get the turning knob, turn it on to medium, get that bitch going, plug it into the cap switch. Then there's a cord that comes from the cap switch that's got a thermometer on it. Hang that in the middle of the room, maybe right above canopy high. Then that thermometer will hang right above the canopy. And whenever it gets too high or too low for that temperature, if it's too low, if it's under 75 degrees, that'll say, hey, it's under 75 degrees. And it will turn on power to that switch, which will turn on the heater. The heater will heat up. As the room heats up, that thermometer hanging in the middle of the room will say, hey, it's as hot as we need it to be. And it'll tell that switch, hey, turn off the power to this this plug-in right here. So all you're doing is turning off and on the power to that plug-in by using a thermometer. It'll say I'm within the range or I'm not within the range. And if you've got a heater that's got a switch on it that you could turn off, on, medium, high, low, however, that will work. But a digital heater will not work for this situation. You can also do the opposite with an air conditioner. If you do a cap switch on an air conditioner, set it low, set it high, you can tell that air conditioner to come on. You can put as many devices on as many cap switches as you want in the room. They sell them for humidity with a humidistat on there. They sell them for heaters. They sell them for coolers. You can automate all kinds of things with cap switches. So think about those things a little bit. I do have some notes that I completely abandoned here. So the cap switch is your first choice. Heater is your first choice. Heater with a cap switch is your next choice. Then, if you've got two rooms, this is what I've done before. I've got a veg room and a flower room next to each other. I simply vent the heat from the veg room into the flower room, and the flower room is dark. So at night, it's just heating up that room using the hot air. So it's just venting that hot air from the veg room over there to the flower room while it's asleep, and that will help keep that room warm a little bit. And then that's got a carbon filter and a dehumidifier in the flower room, so it'll clean that air up a little bit and then send that out of the room, and it's just replacing the air constantly. But vent that the veg room heat into the flower room may be another idea. Here's another thing you can think about is flip the schedule. I know that may sound crazy, but we do this in the summer to keep the rooms cool. Why not do this in the winter to keep the rooms warm? It's always going to be a little bit warmer during the day. Maybe only just a few degrees, especially right now it's snowing like a motherfucker outside in Colorado, but it's only going to be a few degrees. But during the day, we're going to get a few degrees warmer. At night, it's going to be a few degrees colder. What if you put your lights on during the night to try to keep that part of the cycle a little bit warmer? That may help you out. That may keep things dead even, which may help you out just a little bit. A CO2 burner. Maybe have you thought about adding a CO2 burner? A CO2 burner has a lot of good benefits. It's going to make your plants grow bigger, faster, more robust. It'll help you use more nutrients. You can use a little bit warmer room in the summertime, but in the winter, that CO2 burner will heat up the grow room. It hooks up to the natural gas. It works like a pilot light, except it's like multiple pilot lights in a room, depending on how big you buy. You don't need a big one for this room, but you could just use that CO2 burner. It will burn the CO2, and at the same time, it will heat up the room. I know that's, if you're going to do that, do a heater, but why not a CO2 burner? It's going to be just as effective, and if there's just as many, if not less risks, it's probably equal. Anyway, here we go. Since I said risks, let me get to the next part of my notes. It says smoke alarm and fire extinguisher. If you're going to use a heater, if you're going to use a CO2 burner, I highly, highly recommend that you do add a smoke alarm and a fire extinguisher if you don't already have that in the grow space. You guys, every grow space should have a fire extinguisher available and possibly a smoke detector either inside or outside of that grow space. Put the fire extinguisher outside of the grow space. If you have a grow space where the door closes, have the fire extinguisher outside, because if a fire does happen in there, you don't want to have to go in there to get the fire extinguisher to put it out. You want to be able to kick the door open, and careful, the doorknob may be hot. We've all seen the movie Backdraft, but open the door, start spraying, be prepared. So have that fire extinguisher and that smoke alarm. All right, let me check on the notes, make sure I didn't miss anything. All right, it looks like I covered all of the notes for this question. My friend F a Plant Count, thank you for the great question. I do see your name on Patreon all the time. I see your name pop up on the YouTube a lot. Thank you for all the support, bro. And of course, thank you for the great question. I hope I was able to help you out. If you've got any follow-up questions, please do reach out. You know how to contact me. All right, I've got another message here on the table that I would like to read. This one came from my friend Shoe Trader 101 on Patreon. and it goes a little bit like this. It says, Rasta Jeff, I'm not sure how this happened, but from my last run to this run, I noticed a lack of smell coming from the plants during the flowering stage. I'm not sure what causes this. My very first run was successful with all the smell and everything you could possibly think of. I haven't changed anything. I still use Build-A-Soil 3.0 along with Insect Frass Build-A-Flower and other items that you can purchase directly from Build-A-Soil per their recommendation. Big up to Build-A-Soil. They don't pay me. They don't sponsor the show. I honestly don't use them. But all of the organic guys that grow with organics and do the Build-A-Soil program, I hear great success and great success stories with that product line. And they've also got great customer service. And they're cool fucking people. And their Instagram is super cool. So they've never paid me. I don't do a lot of business with them. But big shout out to Build-A-Soil. If you're one of the bed guys, the beds that does the live soil beds, if you're a regenerative guy, what are the guys that just pull the roots out and put the shit right back in there? I can't even think of what that's called. You guys just keep going. The no-till guys. I recommend Build-A-Soil to those kind of folks all the time. So you're using a lot of Build-A-Soil products and most of the stuff per their recommendation. It says a lot of people would say that this is due, that the lack of smell is due to genetics, but I have your stuff, Lit Farms, Raw Genetics, Exotic Genetics, Soulfire, Top Dog, and more, bro. Those are some of the best breeders on the planet, in my opinion. You hit some of my favorites in there. So it's definitely not a genetics issue. And your last run was good. So it says, any feedback would help. I'm in 3 5-gallon pots and 1 7-gallon pot, and I do pH my water. All right, so our friend ShoeTrader101 from Instagram is having a problem where their last run smelled delicious. Everything was perfect, but this run does not have any aroma and flavor. We're going to try to diagnose and figure out why with honestly the little bit of information I've got here. I don't know the VPD. I don't know the lighting. I don't know a lot about this other than some Build-A-Soil products. So let's dig into some of my ideas. I started off by talking about temp and humidity, VPD. How is the temp and humidity in your grow space? We all know that heat. Well, also, let's talk about one thing before we get there, something I was just talking about with the last ramble that I got on. This could be a seasonal issue. I noticed that since I'm dealing with different conditions outdoors during the winter and different conditions in the fall and the spring and the summer, because I'm in Colorado, our seasons are drastically noticeable. You could tell the difference in seasons. So since I'm here, I do notice that some of my crops are easier. They come out better. My winter crop, my fall crop, the one that's done, since I've got them scheduled, the third crop of the year, the one that comes around Halloween, that one's always one of my best crops of the year. If it's for smokable flower or for seeded flower, it's always the most successful is my Halloween run for some reason. I don't know why. I think it may be the gear and dealing. I don't have to cool the rooms as much. So that's what I'm getting at. Let me talk about that now. I've kind of segmented my way into that. I don't have to cool the room as much, so I think I get a better, stickier, tastier product. Is your room too hot? Was your last run in a dry season, in a warm season? Did the room get too hot? Also, maybe perhaps did the room get too dry? Maybe you're dealing with conditions outside that it's hard to correct the indoors and your room got a little bit different. Maybe the last crop, it was a different season. You had that outdoor or that outdoor cool, that Halloween crop like I always get that's super good. Maybe that was your last crop. Maybe you're comparing that spring crop to your Halloween crop and they're going to be totally different just because of outdoor environmental conditions. That just could be a thing. I'm not certainly sure that that is it, but I noticed that my crops are different here at different times of the year. So it could be temperature. It could be humidity. It could be too wet. It could be too dry. Too hot definitely volatilizes and burns off terps. Too dry doesn't allow terps to produce as much. Too moist will definitely stifle terpene production. Too cold might not be too bad for terps, but it is going to slow down some shit. So let's think about temperature, humidity. Then let's also think about airflow in the room. Is there too much airflow? Is it too windy? Imagine if your terps, your plants, your trichomes are just sitting there in the wind. You know, if you're on the boat, if you're on a motorcycle, if you got the windows down, if you're in the convertible, maybe you just got too much wind on your face and you just feel all chafed all day. Maybe the plants are getting the same thing in there, bro. Maybe they're just getting beat up by a fan. Again, I'm not accusing. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just going through my mind, looking in the grow room, going, what could possibly, through my grow space, saying what could possibly be diminishing aroma and flavor and presence of terpenes in this grow space. So I'm just checking off the list and seeing what we can identify in your grow. So we're talking about airflow. Is it too windy? Is it too stagnant? Are you not getting enough air exchange in there? Do we need to get rid of some air, pull some fresh air in there? That may be part of the situation. And I'm just looking from the top down. We're going to get to the soil at the end here. We'll talk about all this stuff. Did you have any issues? Were there any bugs? If you had any bugs at all, that will definitely slow down trichome production, aroma, flavor, all of that stuff, because the plants will be focused on different things. They'll just be more focused on protecting and replenishing the damage that the bugs are doing. Did you see any visual problems? Did you get a microscope and look for any problems? Did you spray anything? Maybe something you sprayed may have changed the aroma and flavor. Then were you watering properly? Did you have any dry spells? Were you overwatering? Did you, you're using the build-a-soil. Did you replenish everything after you harvested? Some of that stuff needs to be put back in. Did you add the bloom boosters? Did you add the aroma and flavor enhancers, which they recommend? I don't know what that is from build-a-soil, but I'm sure there's a product they say, this gives you better flavor, this gives better aroma. Did you use that? Because that may have helped out with you. So, did you overwater? I think I said that. Did you underwater? Were you checking the soil carefully? It says you pH'd it. Were you making sure that everything was perfect in the soil before you were watering? So maybe there was an issue with the soil. Maybe you didn't rebuild everything after the last harvest. I'm not a soil expert, so maybe it could be a lack of microbes. Maybe it could have been a feeding issue. There could have been a lot of things going on there. Something I notice, you said this was happening in the flowering stage, but something else I notice is that a lot of people will have really stinky plants all the way up to the end, and then they don't dry and cure properly, and that's where they lose a lot of the flavor and aroma. Also, that's where people do bring out a lot of the flavor and aroma. So I'm curious, I'm sure that by the time I've read this and by the time this podcast comes out, that it will be harvest time. Maybe it's dry cure and smoke time. How do these plants come out, bro? Now at the end, now that it's time to chop them down, how does it smell? How does it taste? Once you dried it and cured it, then did any of that flavor and aroma come out? It could be a dry and cure issue. Once again, that comes to relative humidity, temperature, darkness, were they kept in the dark? Also, were the lights too close to your plants when they were growing? That could be something to think about too. Were they closer or further away than last time? Did the plants grow taller? Did you lower or raise the light? Did you forget to raise the light or lower the light for some reason? I'm just throwing out there all the ideas that I could come up with. The main thing to think about is what changed? What is different than last time? That's why I always recommend taking a lot of notes. Did you write down everything you did last time? Did you write down everything you did this time? Set those notes side by side and say, oh, last time at week three, I did this. Ah, shit, I didn't do this at week three, or I did do this. It could be something you did or didn't do. It could be an environmental change. It could be something major, or honestly, bro, it could be something very tiny. Did a product change? Did the airflow change? Did your care change? Did your defoliation, your popping, twisting, what is different? That's why I recommend taking a lot of notes. Do you have all the nutrient notes from last time? You say you're using the build-a-soil. Like I said, maybe that needs to be refreshed and recharged. Maybe you need to order a few packages that mix in there for the next crop. The only other thing I can think of, and this has happened to me and other people think I'm crazy when I say this, but maybe you have got what we call nose blind. Maybe you just can't smell it or taste it anymore because you've been around it so much and you've become immune to it. Stinky people don't know they stink. We all enjoy our own brand. You may be sleeping in the house where that herb is. You may sleep there. You may wake up there. You may eat breakfast there. You may have lunch there. You may go about your whole entire day there. By now, you are totally immune to the smell of that ganja just because you're there so much. I know that's extreme, but sometimes I just don't even realize that there's ganja in the house and that you can smell it. And I'll pull up to the house with a friend like Michael come over, and Michael be like, buddy, you got to get a new carbon filter. I can smell it down the block. And I'm like, what do you mean, bro? I don't smell anything. And then Michael be like, let's go somewhere. And we'll go run around in the car for a little bit and not smoke. And we'll come back and I'll be like, ah, bro, I need a new carbon filter. And he's like, yeah, bro, you just got to get out because you didn't smell it at all. So maybe, hopefully that's the situation you're having. Maybe all the terps are there. Maybe you're growing like a pro and a champ and you're just so good at growing, you don't even smell that crazy dank anymore. You've got to improve and make it even stankier and dankier. There are a few products, I guess not products, but a few things I can recommend that may help improve that stankiness. Maybe a couple of these, in combo, maybe one or two by themselves. I've always noticed that kelp-based products make my plants that, if it's got a skunky or an earthy or a cushy or a coffee kind of aroma, that kelp product, well, I'm not sure what kelp product you're going to buy. There are a lot of them, but sea kelp in a product will definitely bring out that funky, earthy, cushy, gassy. Those aromas are enhanced by kelp, in my opinion, in my experience, in my grow. Also, I may recommend adding more sugars and more microbes. That will help with everything. That's always a good idea. Carbs, microbes, that will always help. Then, something I've noticed that makes plants funky and stinky all the time is fish products, any ocean products, seabird guano or fish products, fish emulsion, fish meal, anything with fish in it will make your plants. I think if you put it into the nutrient mix, into the soil, and it's got a little bit of the proper stank to it, that stank does transfer into the plants. Stank makes stank. So that's what I think. So maybe add some kelp, add some fish products, definitely increase the amount of microbe activity in there, and that may help with your lack of aroma and flavor. Bro, my friend, Shoe Trader 101, I hope I helped you out. If you've got any shoes to trade, definitely do hit me up. You guys all know that I'm a big sneaker fan, so if you got the correct Dunk SB Lows, hit me up. We'll do some shoe trading. All right, podcast world, this is the part of the show where I do give away a free pack of seeds. I have teamed up with SeedsHereNow.com to give you a free pack of Irie Genetics seeds. In just 1 second, I'll tell you how to win that free pack. But now let's talk about the winner of last episode's seed giveaway. And the last episode, to win the free pack of seeds, I did say that you had to leave a comment letting me know why you deserve a free pack of seeds. My favorite comment went a little bit like this. It says, I should win because I tried sending you a bunch of hash in hot air balloons and the government keeps shooting them down. That is such a great comment. Big up, fist bump, congratulations. That is my friend JH. You do win a free pack of seeds. Brother, send me your address. I would love to send you some seeds so that you can have fun. Also, bro, shout out for the amazing and excellent strawberry starburst that you're growing. I've seen your photos. I've seen what you sent me. Great work with the strawberry starburst. I will post some of your photos in the very near future. I've got a lot of photos to post. So once again, big congratulations to my buddy JH. Bro, keep the great emails coming. Also, keep the great YouTube comments going. You are a champ. All right, congrats to my buddy JH for the free seeds. I do look forward to the pictures of those seeds. Okay, let's tell everybody how to win a free pack of seeds on today's episode. All you have to do is go to my website, iriegenetics.com. On that website, on the top right, there's a list of tabs. It says home. It says genetics. There's a bunch of stuff listed. One will say grow questions or grow help. Click on that tab. You will be brought to a form where you are able to fill in what strain you're growing. We ask a few questions about the grow room, your nutrients. And then at the bottom, there's a big space to type in your grow question, and you can even attach photos. Send your grow question with your photos and all of the details to the Grow Help tab. If I read your grow question here on the podcast, you will win a free pack of Irie Genetics seeds. And of course, that is brought to us by our friends at SeedsHereNow.com. Big shout out to our friends at SeedsHereNow.com for sponsoring a free seed giveaway. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, and pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I do want to thank you once again for listening to another episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know I would love to hear from you. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. Send me your cannabis culture, your cannabis cultivation questions. Send me your constructive criticism, your positive feedback, or send me the hate mail if that's what you think you've got to do. Don't forget to support the Patreon campaign at patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Everything you could possibly need is at my website, iriegenetics.com. That's all I've got for you. I'll be back in another week with fresh content. I want to give a big shout out to my friend Alabama Man. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. We'll be right back.